Blog Talk Radio.
This is Quadrilyn. Kenny just stepped out of the room. And we thank you all for calling on tonight, Friday, February the 17th, 2017. Our Family Matters with Kenny and Quadrilyn, we discuss real issues that families of all races and ethnicities face. How can we deal with these issues as families, Christians, and as a society? Again, thank you for joining us tonight, Friday, February the 17th, 2017. It is 8 p.m. Eastern, and we will start our Free Flow Friday discussions. So right now, I'm going to go ahead and open up the line. Hi, Pastor Michelle. How are you?
Hi, Pastor Quadrilyn. How are you?
I'm fine. Doing well.
Tonight?
How are you doing?
Ma'am?
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. Doing great. Thank you so much for calling me back. I appreciate it.
No, you were supposed to call me back, dear.
Oh, no, ma'am. But it's okay. We'll discuss it later. God bless you.
Hi, but you were supposed to call me back. Hi, is that Tomasa?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, I'm getting a little congestion, but I'm doing good. I'm all right. All right.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
Hey, Pastor Kenny. Hi.
He needs to go to the doctor, but he's not listening to me. So, yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? What seems to be wrong with my pastor?
I think he has a sinus infection, but he won't listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, babe. But he has no comment. So that's what we should talk about tonight. What do you do when your spouse doesn't listen to my plan?
Let's talk about it.
Well, it is Free Flow Friday. It's Free Flow Friday. Let's talk about it, babe. You want to talk about it? No? Okay. all right. So, of course, we're not going to start tonight about the childhood trauma because it's Free Flow Friday. So we are going to Free Flow Freely. The first thing that I would like to talk about is the Kirk Franklin debate. And, we're not going to talk about the Kirk Franklin debate. We're going to lead into what I would like to discuss. But anyway, so Kirk Franklin, not too long ago, last month, he was on Twitter, and he was tweeting about President Donald Trump and the order, you know, the Muslim ban. And so he just, well, I'm going to read what he wrote. He said, "I am a Christian who would rather sit at the table with a Muslim brother than ban him from a home that wasn't originally mine." Then a day later, this guy named Jay Carper, he responded back and he said, "I trust you'll be leaving your doors unlocked tonight. Oh, and your brothers want to know if you have a daughter." So then Kirk Franklin responded back, "Yes, I have a daughter and the ability to protect her. Please come so I can have a reason to introduce you to it in Jesus' name," which we know he was talking about a weapon. So, well, you can't go on, you know, Twitter talking about, you know, threatening people's children. So the first thing I would like to discuss as Christians, is it okay for us to have weapons in our home? And is it okay for us to have weapons at church? As Christian families, first of all, do you guys think that it's okay for Christians to have weapons in their home to protect their families? Is that Christian? Is that non-Christian like? Is it? Yeah. I don't know.
I think, Pastor Quadri, I think that as far as in our home, absolutely. I'm a firm believer with the state that the world is in today. If a person chooses to protect their home with a weapon, I'm a firm believer you do just that. Because the law is truly for the lawless. If the lawless comes into someone's home and we have a right to bear arms, then I believe that's just what it is. As far as the church, I went to visit a church, and there was security in the church. I believe she might have been a security officer or a police, and that was the very first time that I've seen anybody with a weapon, with a gun, a holster, you know, and it was kind of weird to me, but I can't say whether that's a right thing or a wrong thing. I truly don't know. Maybe somebody else can answer that. But as far as the home is concerned, absolutely. Right to bear arms. It's our right.
Exactly. But would you feel comfortable going to a church where they were armed?
When I went, it kind of made me feel uncomfortable just a bit. And I don't know why, maybe because I just wasn't used to it, and I didn't think the place was big enough for that type of security. But, you know, I don't know what happened in the past that made it like that or whatever the case, but I don't know. I didn't feel the comfort that people say, but I'm just really nervous around guns in the first place, so I don't know if that was me or not.
Got it. What you gotta say, Ben?
Well, I believe as long as you have a law-abiding citizen, because the word clearly tells us all as Christians that we obey the laws of the land. So I'm with you on that, Pastor Michelle, as far as being able to defend your home. I myself am a licensed carrier, so I don't really go around boasting about it, but I would much rather have it and not need it than to need it and not have it.
Amen.
And, you know, in this day and age that we live in, you do have people that are doing strange things, you know, and even now, I mean, if you got kids that are not even being protected in the school system, and you got people that are not even feeling safe in church, I honestly believe, and this is just my belief, that the Dylan Roof situation would have never happened had they had some armed citizens in there, armed Christians in there. He wouldn't have been able to fire all of those shots off and shoot and kill all of those innocent people who were welcoming him into the house of worship. And defiling it, I don't see where a handgun or a licensed carrier, whether it be for security for the church, I don't see where they would actually be defiling the house of God as far as with having a weapon. Now, me personally, I wouldn't carry unless, you know, of course, I became a part of an auxiliary that actually required me to carry at church. But I wouldn't carry because, you know, you want the people to feel safe coming into the house of God. But at the same time, there are, I mean, you're not safe nowhere, really. Nowhere. I mean, you could be in a hospital with EKG, IV, and everything hooked up to you. People are coming there and shoot up the hospital there. You could be in a barbershop with your kids getting your hair and your wife getting her hair and nails done and you getting a haircut and people come up in there and rob the whole barbershop or the whole beauty salon. I mean, you're just not safe. But, yeah, that Second Amendment is definitely a law of the land. But if you're going to actually if you're actually going to carry, I think that you should carry legally. And I think there should be more stringent laws to ensure that we have legal, law-abiding citizens that are able to carry.
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense.
I definitely believe. Oh, go ahead.
I was asking, is the question just for citizens to carry? Because I've been in churches, there are larger churches, but they had police on site at the church, inside the church, in the entries, like where the children's church was, specifically, and then near the main entrances as well. But I didn't feel uncomfortable, and maybe just because it was such a large church where it's such large masses of people, it just seemed like it was something that was necessary. Now, if it's just a regular person, because I was in Texas, and they had just did the open carry, so they had started putting the signs that you can't just come in here, you know, you can't come in here with a weapon, like an outside person, just because they had just passed that law where anyone can come in, if you have the license to open carry, you can. And you can go into restaurants in Texas and people will be sitting at the table with a shotgun. But they didn't want that to be the case in the church. But I didn't feel uncomfortable with the uniformed officers in the church at the entrances, kind of more of a crowd control. I didn't feel uncomfortable with that. But if a random person came in with a gun, I'd probably be looking at them like, what are they doing? And probably watching them where they go.
Right. At our church in Texas, we used to go to a larger church, and they also had officers there that carried weapons. They, you know, they had a little security around the pastor as well. So you do see that a lot in the larger churches. And I don't know, maybe that is the difference because, like you said, when it's a uniformed officer, even though, you know, now with everything going on sometimes, you know, I don't know if we still have that security anymore. But I think part of us still probably does because we are supposed to be able to trust uniformed officers. And but yeah, I completely agree. If it's just a random person, I probably would feel a little more uncomfortable with that because yeah. It's like, do you know how to use that thing? you know how to use that. Oh, yeah, that's a big deal. A big deal. Hey, Cookie,
well,
how are you?
I'm fine. Well, you know, now, since it has been passed, the law has been passed, that they can bring their weapons to church, but like you said, they got to have it open. Because of all the crime that has been happening in the church, and it's been going on for years and years and years, where people were getting killed in churches. They just don't put it all on TV or on radio like they should. But since the law been passed, we have given them that right that they can bring that. In our ministry, we have it on the door. But we have to have it in the bylaws that weapons are not accepted there. And they have to go by what your bylaws say. I think those that are allowing them to bring weapons, I'm talking about the congregation. I'm not talking about the security. Okay. I think they should set up a designated place that they would have to sit with these weapons. And I think they should check them at the door to make sure that they are not carrying a concealed weapon. And if they would put them in a like I said, in a special place, see them in a special place, and then have guards to oversee them, security to oversee them. So you don't want the members or the guests to get hurt or injured when they're innocent. Innocent bystanders.
Right.
Amen.
So you're right, Mom. And what I've also noticed, I've been to a church before where I've seen cops that actually carry, and here's the stipulation to what most churches, to my knowledge, what most churches allow for their uniformed officers to do. They allow them to come in, but they cannot have a magazine inside of their weapon. Their magazine has to be separate from their weapon, but it's on their person. So that way,
right,
there's no accidental discharge inside of the church. Nobody gets shot. And you know, cops are trained to be able to load, reload, and engage their target. And then they also have what we call the concealed classes. They have classes for personnel that want to learn how to get better at self-defense classes with their handguns. They teach them how to load, reload, shoot, re-engage the target without missing the beat. So I mean, if you're actually a licensed carrier, there should be no reason and no doubt in my mind why you shouldn't be able to go in there with that pistol on your hip, but it has no round in the chamber, no magazine in the weapon, and you not be able to get to your weapon in a timely manner and put your magazine in there, charge your weapon back, and be ready to engage a target that's causing a threat to the person, people inside of that ministry. That right there in itself just clearly shows us that we're living in the end times, to where, you know, you had an enemy that never ever considered the house of God sacred, but yet the enemy, we're not even safe going into church, you know. And what really used to get me a lot is that when I worked on a lot of these auxiliaries, us working on the auxiliaries and us being like the ushers and things like that, we couldn't even close our eyes during prayer. Now, if I'm really coming into a ministry where I can close my eyes to prayer and be able to you know, stand in the presence of God and raise my hands and lift my hands up, now I got to scan the whole ministry to make sure there's nobody trying to go up and cause harm to the pastor.
That's right.
Now, that right there in itself is uncomfortable. I should
right.
be able to go in there. We can't even raise our hands and praise and do praise and worship. We got to walk around and watch people and make sure they're not making no sudden moves. But let's just say people that are actually out there, you know, that are ushering, they're out there and they see somebody make a sudden move and they're trying to cause harm to a pastor or cause harm to the pastor's family. And they're not on. What are they going to do? They can wrestle them to the ground.
It's just not for the pastor either, because you don't have husbands to come in and shoot wives or girlfriends to kill girlfriends. That's why I said they should have a designated place to sit people with weapons, because you don't know what their intents are. Plus, people sit up in church and they steal from other members of the congregation. They go in women's services. A lot of crime happen in church. Much easier, like you said, on the ushers too. You got to think about the people that you have up there guarding or keeping out on
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You're right. And I'm sorry, I didn't clarify myself completely. But what I'm saying is there should be, you know, personnel in the auxiliary of that ministry that are actually armed, you know, in the event that they can't get policemen, you know, but not personnel outside of the ministry, you know, just a regular citizen coming outside from, you know, they're visiting from one church and they come into this church to visit and they come in there and they're armed. No, I think it should be the uniform cop or the personnel that's assigned and that's legally licensed to carry, concealed carry or open carry, that's for that ministry only.
I agree with that.
They don't want to have a seat in a designated place. They just have to leave.
Amen. That's right.
Keep it in order. I don't want to sit down and looking all over the place. How you going to enjoy the service? They are all over the place. You don't know what to expect.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what I would do. So you can have a detective. Everybody's not going to abide.
Right, not because people don't want to buy it anymore. They don't want.
Right, a lot of them getting weapons off of the street. But what is it with a permit? So you got to look at all that. So I would have a scanner or something. Small ministries won't have, big ministries won't have, the mega ministries won't have.
Mhm. Yeah, I think most of those mega ministries, they have some kind of probably uniformed officers.
Wow.
Most of them, and I definitely do like the idea of having them stationed at the front, and like Tamasa was saying, at the children's ministry. Because even when what you were saying, Mom, you got husbands, and you know, when it comes to domestic violence situations, and that's a whole nother
go back and do some study, you'll find out this been going on for years. I was a little girl. I feel as though black people have always did this. But now white people did. So this is why.
Black people have always had guns in the church.
Yeah. Go back and do some study. You'll find that out.
Yes, ma'am. That even takes me back to. Oh, sorry. Yes, ma'am. That even also.
And all that, yeah, they took going. What happened to them when they left church? In the cross of your yard, or, you know, they attacked the churches, so they carried on.
Yes, ma'am. Even with and I understand this is a different religious. Religious background, but even in the Nation of Islam, I know we all seen the movie, we're familiar with the movie Malcolm X or X, where you know you had the gentleman that came in with the guns, and those guys that Malcolm X had around him were actually armed. They just were unexpected of having, you know, people come in with shotguns like that. Because if you notice, if I can remember correctly in the movie, the first thing they did was took out a person that they knew that was armed that was guarding him. Then they got him.
They always do.
Mm-hmm. So I don't believe that there should necessarily be you pose a threat when you have a concealed carry. I mean, you pose a threat when you open carry to some people, and that's only the people that don't have weapons themselves. But when you have open carry, you got some people that'll literally try you just because you got a pistol on your hip. So the element of surprise, if you got personnel walking around, you know, then that'll be different. You know, that they won't know how many people they actually have that concealed carries. If you want to have some decoys, you want to have some that carry and some that open carry and some that are concealed carry, then do that. But at any rate, you know, the personnel, everybody inside of the church that's coming in there to worship should be deemed safe by the organization, by the church ministry's security team.
I think we pretty much all agree with that. And I'm definitely for, you know, protecting our homes, especially now. I get a little uncomfortable around guns now. Not that I haven't shot any, because I have, and you know, once I, you know, it is fun. But my husband has to take me in, you know, retry. It is. But I just have to be, you know, retrained. Especially, I think the biggest fear for me is, you know, putting the magazine in there and all of that. So, but once it gets to me loaded, I'm good to go. Good to go.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, this day and time, we definitely probably should have something. Somebody need to have something to protect ourselves. This world is crazy. All right, now playing the lottery. Playing the lottery is tempting, y'all. You know what I'm saying? When you need some financial increase.
Just
hit them numbers one time. Make sure we pay our fines. So what y'all think? Is it okay for Christian families, for Christian people to play the lottery, to bring an income into their family, you know, in the church?
Is it okay for Christians to play the lottery? We're going to church.
Ma'am? It's the law of the land. They made it legal.
So is that a yes?
So you were talking about. So now you are asking spiritually.
Right. Spiritually, is it okay?
Like alcohol.
You said, do we drink alcohol?
Yes.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Is the apostle phone messed up, or is it
ours? Yeah, it's somebody's phone.
It got married.
Mama, are you outside? Pastor Michelle, do you have us on speaker?
enigma.
Okay. I don't know what that is. It comes on and go off. I don't know. It wasn't doing
okay.
it. And
okay.
then it
go
just
ahead.
I say it's the law. I say it's the law of the land. Okay. At the party they got married, and when they got married, they were drinking wine. Is it the law? I mean, is it wrong to drink alcohol?
Trying to get drunk.
Can you think that?
That means you can play the lottery.
Think about it, right?
Yep. Hmm? You can play the lottery.
you
better say it, Apostle.
You're talking about Christians now. You're talking about Christians now. You ask the question.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, gosh.
So you saying we could get married and play the lottery?
I said nothing. Will not enter into his kingdom. I didn't say get drunk.
Being married.
Y'all is talking about this.
She didn't say get married. She didn't say get drunk. I know that's right,
Mama. I'm just messing with them.
I think that if it's not an addiction, your whole paycheck is not going to it. Because I believe that anything that's done in excess puts you in a place of you worshiping it and not God. So I've never seen anything wrong with it. That's just my opinion. I don't know.
Miss Michelle?
I don't know. I could be wrong. Ma'am?
Yes, ma'am. That's her. Yes, ma'am.
All right. So, was this, you said she don't see anything wrong with playing the lottery?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So my phone was acting out. I couldn't understand. It's sounding
okay,
better
yes,
now.
Yes, ma'am. If it's not in excess and it's not excessive and it's not an addiction, like Apostle said, you're obeying the laws of the land. You're not, if you're doing it in excess and putting it above God, then of course there's a problem with it. But if you say, okay, I'm a play the lottery and give this little $5, you know, and you're not doing it over like you're spending your whole check. I personally, like I said, Apostle, if I'm wrong, let me know. I personally don't see anything wrong with it.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Amen.
All right. Babe, let's take $5.
I can't fool with
$5.
But you know, the reason people... The reason Christians say about not playing the lottery, they're actually saying that you're not trusting God to provide all your needs, when He says that He will provide all your needs.
Okay, well then, Apostle, I have a question then.
Yes,
ma'am, that's what people say. Okay, Apostle, I have a question. If I hit the lottery, would you allow me to pay tithes off of the lottery money I hit?
Me personally, or are you talking about in general?
No, ma'am, I'm talking about to our church, to our ministry. Would I be allowed to pay tithes?
I don't see why not. You say
okay.
You take it from the... All right.
Amen. Hey.
Take your $5.
Because I asked that because I've heard some people say...
No, ma'am,
why?
She's not.
Oh,
Kyra,
okay.
No, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay,
go ahead,
Michelle.
Because some people have said, if you hit for that $30 million, don't be trying to pay 10% to me. That's the devil's money. I was like, well, dang.
Well, what does the scripture say is about taking from the unjust to give to the just?
You know what? You better say it right, Apostle. You talking right?
Isn't that what he said?
Yes, ma'am, he sure did.
Well, forget that, baby. I got 20 on her. Let's go. We're going to pay these tithes today.
I mean, I'm like Michelle, okay? I tell my people, that's a personal thing between you. You know, you want to go play it, you go play it. If God says he doesn't find any fault in you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that you don't have faith in God. It doesn't mean
right.
that you don't trust God. You know, if I wanted to go get me some liquor, I'd go get it, but I don't want liquor.
The Bible
clearly says, drink a little wine for that stomach's sake. It just said,
right.
drink a little Coca-Cola for my stomach's sake.
That's
it
right.
Said, it said, drink a little wine. If you are having a problem with your stomach, people don't realize 2 ounces of wine a day is good for the heart.
It is.
You offer it up and pray over
it.
God, for God to be touching with your healing hand. When all you got to do is sit right there and drop her head and she'll die. Her heart, it got that weak. And I asked her to trust me. I went and got her some Manny Sherbet. I prayed over that Manny Sherbet. I offered it up to God. Because, see, you got communion wine out there.
There you go.
And
I was just going to say it.
Hey, get some, well, you don't even have to get the communion wine. The wine is fruit. It comes from the fruit of the tree. They let it set over. You let it set over, it'll knock somebody out. I had to throw away some. It had, ooh, Lord, I wouldn't have gave that to the drunk man. Because he would have drank the whole thing because it was so fermented, you know. But she got better. She went back to the doctor within that week. The doctor asked her, what was she doing? She never pleased to turn around. But you doing it. You keep on doing it. That's what he told her. And she kept on doing it until she got tired and she stopped. And I told her, I said, well, you need to continue with this wine. Commune, girl, commune. Now, when we commune, we used to give wine to those that didn't drink, but if someone had an alcohol problem, I give them juice. Y'all know what kind of juice I'm talking about. Sparkling grape juice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That sparkling. Because it said the fruit of the vine.
Mm-hmm.
I had said it in Germany. I haven't done it yet, but I said I was going to start drinking me a glass of red wine a night, you know, for health reasons, blood pressure, and all of that. Yeah.
But the doctor asks you, they're going to ask you, do you drink for communion? That's holy. But it doesn't say you can't drink. It doesn't say you cannot drink wine, not even, just drink it on occasion, serine and drink it with a meal. It doesn't tell you that you can't. It tells you not to get drunk.
Germans, they live a long time, but they sure drink their wine. I mean, they drink their beer, but they drink their wine. And they have, they not that cheap stuff. They had it real,
I know.
And it does have its health benefits. Mm-hmm.
Well, ain't nothing wrong with drinking wine. Ain't nothing wrong with drinking if you're not an alcoholic. But I wouldn't drink liquor because it leads you to one more. That's just like cigarette. That's just like a drug. You want more. So you stay away from stuff that you know that's going to harm you. But wine, there's nothing wrong with wine.
Amen, Apostle. Amen.
Even though I don't
Apostle.
Baby, you should go get us some red wine.
I'm there.
Drop $20 on the
line. I know that.
I'm listening, Michelle. Pastor Michelle. I got to get used to doing it. I got to get used to calling you all by your titles. I'm not used to that. Okay.
Oh, no, ma'am, that's okay. Sister Tomasa has a question for you. Her name is Tomasa. Ask Tomasa.
No, ma'am,
okay,
Pastor, you already made a very Christmas clear. Thank you so much.
Is she on the phone?
Yes, ma'am. She's on the phone.
I'm listening.
Oh, no, ma'am. You already answered the question. You just gave us all the details. And
no, ma'am.
God bless you.
No, ma'am. What she said, she's telling a lie. The devil is a lie.
What's the question?
She said if it's okay for us to drink wine, then what about smoking weed? That's what she said.
I answered that.
Exactly. Yes, ma'am. You sure did.
Long as it's illegal, that's not the law of the land for us to drink. I mean, smoke it. Okay, cigarettes. You can go buy cigarettes and drink them, and smoke it. But you know they got on there. It's hazard to your health. And the Bible tells us, do not. Taking anything like that that's going to be harmful to the body.
Amen.
Now, that's biblical, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
So stay away from the drugs if it's not legal.
Because she said, Apostle.
Mm-hmm.
She said because in the state of Washington, it's illegal.
But don't it have to be medical?
No, ma'am. They have marijuana shops like 7-Elevens.
Oh, really?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, really? Well, some things you got to use your own discretion about.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what
I don't
want to
get
bank
these.
On.
I tell them no, don't do it. Because to me, it'll turn to other habits, like you said.
That's why I said what I said back. You know, about getting it's better to stay away from the alcohol. But it leads you to other things.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't advise you because they say marijuana does something to the brain. Don't it minimize the brain or something? Strength to bring. That's why when you find people that got hooked on marijuana, might have had some goals in life, but then they get where they don't want to do nothing. That's because the brain is strong. I did a little study. Never tried it. I don't want to get high like that.
Oh.
And you
yes,
can't
ma'am.
Stand up straight. I wouldn't advise it.
Me neither, Apostle. I wouldn't either.
Oh, that medical marijuana, don't they miss something with it?
The medical marijuana here that they sell here, it's in its purest form. That's the problem. There's nothing mixed with it. It's very potent, but it's supposed to go in and it's supposed to heal. They have it in, here, they have it in pill form, they have it in food, and they have it where you can smoke it, and they have it in liquid form.
I still feel they're mixing some with it. Y'all just don't know it.
That's probably, you're probably right. It didn't grow in my backyard, so I wouldn't know.
The word medical. That's just like when you buy cinnamon over the counter.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm talking about the medical cinnamon. You know, it's got medicine in it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I never even heard of medical cinnamon.
Go into Walmart. Go back over there where the vitamins are. There's cinnamon over there.
I'm going to look. Yes, ma'am.
That cinnamon, and then go look at that what you buy to put in your food. You know, why not? It's a difference.
Yeah, I've seen the supplement, the cinnamon supplement. I just didn't know what you would take that for.
It got medicine in it. Mm-hmm. You know that cinnamon and is it allspice? I know cinnamon is good for your health reasons, and I got to get back to it. Cause I put it in my oatmeal. I don't gave out of the pill form. I need to go get the pill form. Turmeric that you buy, if you buy it from a health food store, the powder form, it doesn't have anything in it. But if you buy the pill form, it's got some kind of medication in it.
Okay. Yeah, I know the turmeric, it helps with inflammation and things like that.
I've been taking it for headaches, too, and it's really working.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I hear that. Turmeric, it helps with inflammation. It helps with all type of things.
What's good? What is it? What was said, Pastor?
Turmeric. If you have gallbladder issues, ma'am.
I was telling her when she go to look for the cinema over there in the health food, vitamin area, she'll also see turmeric over there, too. And turmeric is a herb, too.
I have turmeric. I use that.
Yeah.
And you know what, Apostle? That's good for your face, too. It's good for your face, too.
It's supposed to be good for everything. Really.
Yeah, inflammation.
How you test?
Yep.
That's what those Chinese and Japanese and all of them, they take that stuff. That's why they don't get as have as many illnesses as we do, because they put it in their food and they take real big on turmeric.
Right. We actually did a show one time talking about the natural, and I'm gonna have a Prophetess Camellia to come on
and talks to us about, you know, more of the natural stuff, because she's into all of that. But yeah, the turmeric, you know. Oh, and I want to say this before we get off the phone. If you guys are not taking probiotics, I know we've talked about this before, but I would seriously, you know, suggest that you guys do some research on it, talk to your doctors or whatever. I give it to my kids. I take it. I give them vitamin C and multivitamins. And last year, like, they kept colds. They were sick every time. I mean, every time you turned around, these children were sick. Lord have mercy. But this year, thank God, up until now, you know, we're not at the end of the winter yet, but this is a testimony all in itself, because it's mid-February. I think they've only had one cold, and Mariah's probably lasted maybe about 4 days, Jared probably a couple of days or whatever. But they have it for kids and everything, and it helps to, you know, to balance out the gut, the good bacteria and the bad bacteria and all of that. And so I definitely want to say that I have seen, you know, definitely an improvement. And they've been around, because we have all these viruses and stuff going around. Jeremiah, half of his class pretty much was sick, and they called and left a message about don't send your kids to school sick and everything. So there are things out there that we can take that'll help, you know, build up our immune systems, and in addition to praying, you know, praying and stuff like that. But I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, I got some waiting on me to go pick up.
It does. It helps. I'm glad they haven't. It even helps with that, you know, controlling allergies. It helps build up the immune system. Yeah. So I didn't know that until I started doing research, trying to find out things to help, because I got tired of my babies getting them colds like that last year. And, you know, we want to do better and eat better, because they have so much stuff that we're inputting in our – I mean, they have so much stuff in our food and just the atmosphere, and there's just so much out there. So – yeah.
So did y'all, did everyone understand about the lottery?
Yes, ma'am.
So we got into something else. That's how come I asked.
Yes, ma'am, we understand. We got 20 on it. Now, is it wrong to pray for the numbers?
I'm done with her. I'm so good. But look, we really do want an answer for that.
You are better than me, you know that? Hope I win. Y'all don't get it. Faith is hope.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord, mercy. I think y'all are making me laugh tonight.
These are things that we all wanted to know and just never ask. This is one of those free flow Fridays.
Oh, my goodness.
If it ain't gonna bother you. So the free man down. I said, if it's not going to bother you. I said, because the freedom is there.
Like, hey, I guess the act, hell, not good act, man.
Oh, no, that's right.
All right.
But you know how
go ahead.
When we was growing up, our pastor taught us, she said, listen, some things that I do, you can't do. She said, what God convicts me about, you might not be convicted about.
Yes.
And she said, and we're still going to go to heaven. If God brings the conviction in your heart and then you do it, then that's where the sin comes in at.
Right. That's in the Bible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, well, I don't have any connection back to my
things you just don't. There are some things you just don't do.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, what?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sound good to me. My kids so loud. They're so loud. Cookie, did you have anything? You've been quiet. Did you have anything, honey?
No, ma'am, I didn't.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you.
Don't get addicted.
What?
Right. Right.
Make sure you don't get addicted because that's
I'm too cheap. I don't like throwing away money, ma'am.
You call
them. Make sure you don't get addicted because that's where the sin comes in.
Yes,
ma'am.
Once you get addicted to something like that, you're making it your God.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, thank y'all so much. I mean, my baby was going to go get us some wine to get married and come up with our number so we can put 20 on it.
That'll go ahead and push that coal out of Pastor Kenny.
Yep.
Pastor Kenny, put the kids to bed.
Don't worry, it's going to be a cold blue.
Thank you
for your professional voice.
It's on the internet. You can log on through the internet. It will give you a phone number. You can call. You can actually see people face to face. It's very interactive. And
okay.
I think it holds up. I don't know. I believe it holds up to 50 people. So we had 16 people join last night for the first night, and God truly moved. I do have to say this small testimony.
That's what I've been seeing. That's what I saw of you on Facebook.
Yes,
ma'am. That's the Bible study.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So last night, God gave a word to one of the ladies that were on there last night. He told her not to look in her bank account because the money is not going to come in her account, that the money would be in her hand. So 4 hours later, Apostle, somebody put $1,000 in her hand.
Wow.
4 hours later. So God is truly, truly moving, and we're just appreciative of what God is doing through his word.
All right, then.
And for everybody that's listening, in Radio Land, my apostle is Apostle Rose Brown out of Macon, Georgia, and she is gracing us with her presence tonight. My overseers are Pastor Kenny and Pastor Quadena, as people have asked me, and no, I'm not going to be joining another ministry for the rest of my life. Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
I
don't know if God has seen it. I don't know if God has shown it to you all. Pastor Knight has, now he is a part of a radio ministry to talk show. I saw their flyer on radio, on Facebook. I think you saw it too, Quadrant. I think I saw it up under you.
That's all it
is. And he not told anybody this, but he's going to be co-host on a TV program. And they trying to get that set up. But he was asked to come in as a co-host.
All right. Okay. All right. Look
at God taking y'all and throughout the world. Look how God is doing his thing.
Yes,
ma'am. Y'all out there. I hear them telling me about both of yours. They, read Matters of the Heart.
So heart inspired, yes, ma'am.
Know what that means?
Yes, ma'am.
They be reading my blog.
I'm really proud of all of you. Yeah, some people read your blog too. Well, I read them saying it right. I don't know the difference yet.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
I think I'm doing good.
You're doing great.
I'm learning some stuff. I'm serious. I'm learning some people that are younger than me don't even know how to work a tablet. I thought, woo, praise the Lord. I know how to work a tablet. I might not know how to do everything, but I do
know
how to put it on and off.
That's right. You know, you going through Facebook now. You maneuvering Facebook. You doing good.
Yes, I think I am too. I'm not doing what Miss Brenda. Miss Brenda live on Facebook, but she knows what she's doing. I don't even know how to put a picture on there yet, but I'm gonna learn.
Yes,
well,
ma'am.
I'm on the way, Mama. I'm on the way.
Yes, you are. Can I give a testimony real quick?
Yes,
can I give a testimony
ma'am.
Real quick? Praise the Lord. I give all honor to God, the Father, Son, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, and I thank him for the angels. But yesterday for therapy, I went walking, and I walked halfway down the street. I never walked down the street. And I was so proud of myself. I'm not going to tell
anybody, yes. I wouldn't. And my therapist, he was just amazing with his words of encouragement, you know, and just letting me know. He said, you know, I tell my wife, I get my exercise when I go see these three women. He said, because you all are the only three that walk. And I said, well, this thing, I wasn't even walking at all. From the bathroom to the chair. I said, but I'm walking down the road, down the street, and I'm coming back. So pray for me that I go a little further. I just need somebody to walk with me, ask God to send me somebody, because I only got 2 more weeks of therapy. So pray that God send me somebody. I need somebody now to walk with me. You know, I know the angels there. I know Jesus is there. But, you know, somebody physical. So I need somebody physical.
Yes, ma'am.
And I know the prayer has gone forth, and I know it's been doing. But I had to give my testimony. I want y'all to know that.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for sharing. Amen. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, you know I wasn't walking.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know. There's more to come. More to come.
I start working on my weight, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I love you all.
Right.
Y'all have
a
good night. Till next time.
Love you,
okay.
All right.
Love
well,
you, too.
Love you guys. All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.